Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, April 6, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a pretty warm 51 degrees and raining here pretty good here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Microwaves, DOD, Voice to Skull, Digital Morphing, and Military PsyOps. We've been looking over the last few weeks at the frequency spectrum and how that can potentially be utilized for things such as secretive military weapons. We have established some very disturbing technologies that have been in development since at least the 1990s. We looked back, we talked a few times now about Bell Labs and some of the technologies that they had already been developing back in the early 1900s through the Second World War and some of their affiliations with the Department of Defense during wartime. Lots of different capabilities for sending communications, military communications, radar, microwaves, all kinds of different things, including the artificial larynx, which I did think when we first looked at some of the innovations of Bell Labs, I was like, how strange is that? They're developing artificial larynxes. But we find out, we read a story out of the Washington Post from 1999, and it's crusty out of their archives, from a guy named William Arkin, who I guess had been some sort of intelligence operative at one point for the military, then became a journalist. And he had written a story about when seeing and hearing isn't believing. And I was extremely shocked to discover that in 1999, and he had then even gone back to the first Gulf War and the mid-90s, discussing these technologies where not only could they very foolingly copy somebody's voice and make someone say something they actually didn't, but potentially create these massive holograms that they could use for psychological operations in places such as Iraq, wink, to make things like Allah appear in the sky. Now, we've heard all kinds of stories about Blue Beam. Blue Beam was always kind of like a fantasy, but I am going to say now, just with the way technology has moved forward over the last 20 years or so, we have not looked at good old Ray, Uncle Ray Kurzweil, in a couple weeks. But Ray's talked about the law of exponential returns and how technology, begetting technology, has caused things to move in a fast-forward fashion, faster than anything that we could even believe at this point. And I'm going to tell you, there are millions, if not billions, of dollars going into the military-industrial complex, into weaponry, and a lot of it is being spent at this point in time as potential cures if we ever had some type of biological, or we're finding out now, genetic attack. Because God forbid, Russia has also been working on these weapons. One of the things that they listed was genetic weaponry. Like I mentioned the other day, that would explain why DARPA was looking for some sort of bidder to bid on a project to come up with a digital rights management to lock down our genomes so they couldn't unwittingly, accidentally, or on purpose CRISPR us to turn into minotaurs or maybe squiggly worms or something. I mean, it is beyond disturbing. So we continued on looking at some of this other weaponry. We had discovered this voice-to-skull technology as well as the sonic projector. Then we found out there was something also called a holographic projector that would allow them to put something in the sky to scare them. This story I found after the show ended yesterday. This, again, is one from the archives, but this one is a little bit more recent. Some of the stuff we were reading yesterday was from 2007, 2006, something from 1999, establishing that they already had a lot of these weapons in development. The day before, we had heard Norm O'Donnell asking at a press briefing of Rumsfeld and General Myers about energy weapons that were in development for the second Gulf War. And they had said that, yeah, well, you know, they were in the arsenal and there may be circumstances that would necessitate them maybe pulling things out of the experimental arsenal to do some testing. But we had also found out that it was very potentially that they had also used some sort of experimental energy weapons during the first Gulf War as well. When you take a look at that highway of death, and we listened to a few of the stories from doctors who were in the battlefield during the second, I believe it was the second Gulf War, that had seen firsthand some of the victims of whatever these new weapons were, and it was extremely disturbing. They were just things that you don't want to listen to at breakfast, but go back in the notes from 2 days ago. I'll add it again today if you really want to read it, but it was beyond disgusting and disturbing, and it absolutely was not any type of conventional weapon, such as bullets or bombs, that we have ever seen. Well, here's a story now out of Wired Magazine from 2010, getting back to the holograms and some of the stuff that we've discussed. Project Bluebeam, Ronnie Reagan in the 80s. You know, I don't know if that was before or after they supposedly had ended Wink Star Wars. Star Wars, which I am going to ascertain, never actually ended. All of these energy weapons are a part of that. We read about Lockheed Martin with their lasers from the sky. They could burn a hole through your skull. Not a problem. This is from 2010, December 6, 2010, so almost 2011, just short of 5 years ago. Military one step closer to battlefield holograms. Now, when we had read the story from 99, they had said that they needed a mirror a mile wide, and oh my goodness, it would be possible, but it would be very difficult. Well, sounds like they've put some good DARPA funding into this, and just recently, maybe a year, 2 years ago, Pigmine had posted the video. I think it was in Japan, one of our mad science offshore facilities, where they had created touchable holograms where you could actually touch, feel, see. And I am going to ascertain that that is going to be something in the future, especially as we're moving into this virtual reality, high definition virtual reality and augmented reality. At some point, it's not even going to be goggles anymore. You're going to be able to just, like, touch a little button next to your temple and turn on those holographic glasses to see Nana 1,000 miles away, and you'll be able to give her a big squishy hug at some point, too. And, I mean, how far is it going to be beyond that? So you could just push a button and beam right in. Bzzz. Each time they'll just create a new copy of you, I guess. I don't know. I haven't postulated that far. Kind of like the Star Trek, not the replicator and not the holodeck, but the, I don't know, where they beamed them down to land and back up again. And they just take your atoms bzz, bzz, and recreate them at the other end. I mean, guys, literally, we are talking about technologies. These are energy beam technologies. And as they learn more and more, and not only about technologies and wavelengths, but about biology itself, cracking the mysteries of the brain, cracking the mysteries of biology, and how cells work and how they interact, because that's all going on right now. This is becoming closer and closer to reality than you could even imagine. Anyway, so this story out of 2010, military is one step closer to battlefield holograms. It is one of those grandiose ideas that gets bandied about by Pentagon scientists and pops up in the press every few years. The face of Allah weapon that we discussed yesterday, that they were talking about in 1999, would be a massive lifelike hologram over a battlefield projecting the image of some deity to, quote, incite fear in soldiers on a battlefield, unquote, according to one researcher. We last checked in on the holographic weapons research 2 years ago, in 2008, and we covered that story, when the University of New Hampshire was working on some Pentagon-funded projects. And remember, this is this military industrial corporate academic complex we've discovered, DARPA with their sprinkle funding, and all the universities and the hospitals and now the corporations to be able to accelerate innovation, wink, as they are getting our children and our parents and our husbands and wives to work for the machine to create these technologies that will be enslaving us, our children, and our grandchildren in the future. You know, they typically compartmentalize these things. So you might think that you're working on, you know, just a little project for this or that. But when they put all these little projects for this and that together and all these little compartmentalized scientific research line items, they turn into one big horrifying potential weapon that can be used in any way they see fit without your input whatsoever. So this phase of Allah weapon would be a massive lifelike hologram over a battlefield to incite fear. Yes, they love fear and alarm. And when we last checked, 2 years ago, the University of New Hampshire was working on some Pentagon-funded projects. Since then, another university team has turned holograms into a reality, but not as tools of war just yet. Optical scientist Nazar... oh, this is a hard one. Pagong Hang Barbarian and his teammates at the University of Arizona. And ding, ding, we have talked about the University of Arizona quite a number of times now. They have come up just recently as well in photonics research and all kinds of different military funding for things that they are doing. So keep an eyeball on them. University of Arizona has demonstrated that, quote, the New York Times calls actually moving holograms that are filmed in one spot and then projected and viewed in another spot. Now, remember when we talked about the Voice of God weapon and the digital morphing yesterday? It ends up, after all that research that they did in New Mexico's Los Alamos facility, there were no takers in the Department of Defense, which, again, like I say, I find that extremely hard to believe. But hey, you know what? Hollywood found it very interesting. Thank God for Hollywood. And I say the CIA. But now we have these moving holograms. We had seen that with Wolf Blitzer on propaganda mouthpiece CNN. I almost called them the CIA, but same difference. With Anderson Cooper in the house and good old Wolfie. But they beamed in Wolf Blitzer onto the scene. Or actually, I don't know, maybe it was, I don't remember who it was, but it was during one of the elections maybe. They beamed them into place doing live reporting on the stage, yet they were actually someplace else. Of course, get that into the mainstream so people can see it. It all gets normalized. And then we can use it for whatever psychological operations we want to use it for in the future. And remember, we already discovered back in 1999 that all this stuff was being developed to execute PSYOPs. And that is still what they are doing. Trust me. Believe me on this one. They're going to sell it to you as a consumer device. Look at how cool this is, Johnny. Get sucked right into the machine. You don't have to even go visit Nana anymore. You could push a button on your addictive device and Nana will just appear. Well, this is to play games. This is to suck your family and your loved ones into the machine. This is to steal your reality and to get you away from nature and from connecting to what makes you human so they can progress this to the next stage, which is Ray Kurzweil's vision of the future. All right, anyway, so the University of Arizona is working on actual moving holograms that are filmed in one spot and then projected and viewed in another spot. And the New York Times likens this hologram to a tiny image of Princess Leia, yes, popular culture that everyone would understand, where R2-D2 shows Luke Skywalker in the beginning of Star Wars only a lot more haltingly and displays changes only every 2 seconds. So as of 2010, as of 6 years ago, they weren't quite there yet. I'm going to say give it 6 years and the pace of technology, they're probably pretty much there now. And hey, we found out they got touchable holograms now. Pagangham Barbarian's hologram, created by a suite of 16 cameras that use lasers to record data on smart plastic some distance away, that when hit by a special light, project images in a solid-looking 3D. A partnering team at Columbia University is studying ways to beam the hollow data via the internet to allow 3D video chats, like I said, sucking you in, or instantaneous transmission of holographic maps, blueprints, or medical scans. Now, a listener had sent me something a while back that was really shocking to me. It was an eyeball-sized tablet that was being touted to engineers for blueprints and things of that nature, and it was this little glass that was kind of almost like the Google Glass, where it kind of attached to your head, and it was this little tiny screen in front of your eye that allowed you to do almost an augmented reality, so you could wear it when you were out at a site. Let's say you were an architect, and you had to measure the exact distances for where you wanted to put the building. You could start, beep, blink an eye, scan your head, beep, blink another eye, and it would be taking real-time measurements and laying it out in real time in front of your eyes. I would almost imagine that in the not-too-distant future, once good old Ray, Uncle Ray, gets these devices connected to our neocortexes, is that the plural, or is it cortex-i, that this will be like real-time displays in our brain, embedded in our memory. I mean, it's just the possibilities on this stuff is endless, and as it gets closer and closer to becoming almost reality-like, there's going to be just a tiny little baby step across that line for integration into biology. We've already discussed smart dust somewhat. Maybe we'll jump into a little bit more of that today, and the tracking, bagging, and tagging of real time for humans. And you're going to see that every little step has been bringing us closer, and it isn't just something that has been happening in the recent past. This has been over the last 20 years or so of technology creeping forward and integrating itself into our lives so we don't even notice that it is happening. Anyway, this new hologram will be using lasers and cameras and recording the data on smart plastic some distance away. And when hit with a special light, is able to project the image in a solid-looking 3D. Partnering team at Columbia University is studying ways to beam the holo data via the internet to allow 3D video chats or instantaneous transmission of holographic maps, blueprints, or medical scans. Their team said that it might take a decade for this technology to become affordable and widespread. Well, guys, we're already seven years into the future, because this is 2010. And I think we're getting there. Weaponized would be much further behind, they say, though we wouldn't want to bet today's cash-strapped military to invest in a face-of-a-la gun. Well, but it's not cash-strapped anymore, is it? It appears to be the 21st century economic engine for everything. Cost aside, it is just not very PC, they say. Early holograms are already a fixture in military headquarters, according to the New York Times article. A company called Zebra Imaging out of Texas has been selling 2-foot by 3-foot plastic hologram maps to the Pentagon, who is their main customer, at $1,000 to $3,000 a pop. The military then sends data in computer files to the company, which seems bizarro. Why would you be sending it to some commercial company? Hopefully it's not classified. Zebra then renders that holographic display. And, for example, battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan. And there are no 3D glasses required. Just a custom-made LED flashlight that, quote-unquote, activates the image encoded in the plastic. Zebra technology has other military applications, such as post-blast IED forensics. According to the company's website. Well, that's interesting. I wonder if they're using any type of molecular millimeter wave scanner to do the ID forensics. And analysts are trying to understand the nature and construction of explosive devices, and they are able to understand the scene in 3D far better than having classic 2D bird's eye views. Well, there you go, guys. I mean, that again was 7 years ago that they were already discussing things of this nature. There was something else that was called the hand of Allah. So we had the voice of Allah, the what was it called? I just got rid of it. The voice of Allah, the image of Allah, and now the hand of Allah. Back in 2003, there was a big old brouhaha over comments made by another general. And this was General William G. Boykin, who seemed to cast the war on terrorism in religious terms. Then Defense Secretary Rumsfeld defended Boykin and President Bush and assured the world that we are not involved in a religious war. But you would think that after all that, someone somewhere in the Pentagon would inform people that to be a tiny little bit sensitive when talking about religion, particularly other people's religion, then again, maybe not. And remember, this is all about stirring it up. I think George Bush had actually said that we were in a religious war. And, little did we know at the time that they were arming and training these people overseas to stir the pot up even more to get what we have today. We most affectionately call ISIS the boogeyman that has now taken that dribble of Pentagon funding and turned it into a waterfall of Pentagon funding. So we had a new boogeyman to fight. Anyway, now that we have an army colonel back in 2003, who in a briefing earlier this week with reporters claimed that the Army's guided multiple launch rocket system is being called the hand of Allah by the enemy. And the colonel's apparent explanation of the weapon, he calls it a 70-kilometer sniper rifle that seems to, quote, come from nowhere, unquote. It is just so wrong. That's the author, not me, but I'm going to say how interesting that appears to come from nowhere, 70 kilometers. I'm going to have to guess that that's probably up high somewhere and able to do some major damage. So we had ended the show yesterday looking at a story that came out of Global Research, that is a publication out of Canada, globalresearch.ca. This one was from 2013, updated in 2014, titled Psychotronic and Electromagnetic Weapons: Remote Control of the Human Nervous System. Now, this again was another one of those weapons that was utilizing some of the electromagnetic and radio frequency spectrum, perverting that spectrum to be used as weaponry. We've had all kinds of high energy weapons, but we found out that there were also weapons in the microwave band as well as in the ELF and the VLF band. We haven't quite gotten there yet. And now in the future, maybe some of the higher bandwidths that can do things to the human body and the human brain. Like we're finding out here, remotely control, send messages, send voices that only the individual person can hear. There was a documentary I was watching as well a couple nights ago that was talking about sending thoughts into the subconscious so that the targets wouldn't even know that these thoughts were being embedded there for future potential activation. When you start looking at some of these crazies that have had instances where they blasted up a facility here in the United States, lone wolves that now are one of the biggest terror threats on the U.S. mainland. And you look at some of the CIA research that they have done in mind control over the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. It's not too much of a stretch of the imagination to think that maybe, just maybe, some of these tinfoil hat wearing lunatics that have said that these are false flags might not even in one instance potentially be correct about this, because I'm going to tell you it's smelling really stinky from here to me as I read more and more about these technologies and dig up more and more technical evidence that they potentially really could exist. The fact that a lot of these patents were filed out there, they're all still considered quote unquote classified, should be the dead giveaway. Well, anyway, back to the story about psychotronic weapons out of globalresearch.ca that we were reading and ended the show up with yesterday. Where do we even continue here? In 1975, we'll do a little overlap, because I thought this was interesting as well, that they were doing this testing at a VA hospital in Kansas City. Kansas City, where we also found some of those microwave towers. In 1975, a neuropsychologist, Don R. Judson, the director of Laboratories of Experimental Neuropsychology at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Kansas City, unwittingly leaked national security information. He published an article in the American Psychologist, which is a publication, on the influence of microwaves on living creatures' behavior. In the article, he quoted the results of an experiment described to him by his colleague, Joseph C. Sharp. Which is that a real name? Come on. Joseph C. Sharp. Maybe his parents had a good sense of humor. So there was some other scientist that Jane from chat pointed out that we covered the other day. And his initials, his name was Immanuel Kant, and his initials were I can't. This is kind of funny. Anyway, Joseph C. Sharp, who was working on Project Pandora, which was the CIA mind control experiment using microwaves, which was also a secret project of the American Navy. Don R. Judson wrote in this article, quote, by radiating these themselves with these quote-unquote modulated voice microwaves, Sharp and Grove were readily able to hear, identify, and distinguish among 9 different words. The sounds heard were not unlike those emitted by persons with what? Oh, yes, the artificial larynxes as well. Again, Kansas City, AT&T, Bell Labs connection, artificial larynxes, microwave beams, research labs for experimental neuropsychology by the VA in the same Kansas City. And now again, full circle, artificial larynxes. I mean, guys, it's bizarro. It is bizarro that there are dots that connect to all of these pieces. And then into that, the Washington Post article by that military, former military analyst, talking about that voice technology and being able to do voice morphing and making it sound like a different individual, making it morph into whoever's voice you want, and then doing things like, oh yes, beaming voice of Allah. And in the beginning, it sounded like artificial larynxes, but now they got way better at it. And how it is still classified. Guys, this has all got to be. It's got to be part of the same thing. And this, honestly, I'm not going to say this is any type of science fiction anymore. There have been way too many stories in way too many well-respected publications. And I know you can call it all bullshit. You could say the mainstream is all bullshit. But there are some science pubs that, even though I question sometimes whether or not something has been fully vetted or not, there have been enough different publications over a long enough period of time, almost 25 years of rumors and potential testing and potential classified sites of destruction or people reporting experiences that they've had, for me to say that, like I said before, it at least stinks really bad and there is rotting meat sitting on the grill now, and they're turning up the heat, and it's coming. And, you know, now let's draw one more point forward. Maybe we can get there next week. Looking at good old Tommy Insel, the former director of the National Institute of Mental Health for the United States, who stepped down in October of 2016 to go to where? Oh, Google's Verily. Google, one of those corporations who was brought into the fold to be a part of the whole military, industrial, academic complex. We had DARPA, Regina Duggan, and now DARPA Dan, and I'm sure there are others that maybe we don't know about, who moved into Google over the last few years. And then good old Uncle Ray Kurzweil, who was planted on top. And they work all in conjunction, trading great ideas and technologies and sprinkle funding to have those smarty pants come up with things that could potentially be used not only to cure you, because remember, it's all about keeping you safe, but also that other edge of the sword is to figure out ways to control you. Now, if good old Tommy Insel is working on diagnosing mental disease, which, you know, toss that old school DSM out a window because it doesn't work anymore. And a lot of it, we just kind of made some of that stuff up for symptoms. Don't worry about it. We got a better way. We have all these biostatistics that we can pull from things such as what? Oh, yes, your voice. Things that we have been discovering in some of our mad science that, yes, there are lots of things that we can tell just simply from your voice. Remember, we've been doing experimentation since way, way back of the days of Bell Labs. Who knows what we've been doing with all of that voice data? We've been running it through different types of diagnoses tools and different types of wave modulators and looking at everything sliced this way and sideways with some of the smartest people on the planet coming up with things that we can do with it. And I mean, it's horrifying because remember, our voice is just another part of that spectrum. It is just modulated sound. Just like the light spectrum and then all of those other spectrums that we don't see, we interact with on a daily basis, the microwaves, the RF, the AM, the FM, the cosmic rays. I don't know, I'm drawing a blank. You know, that whole spectrum, we interact on a daily basis. We are a part of that. We are analog. And as they learn to manipulate, again, more facts of biology and Earth 1.0, we are going to become victim. Good old Tommy Insel is going to find ways to make us seem like we need fixing. And I just saw something the other day that had done an analysis of people who were hearing these voices as part of these experiments, and not people who are saying that they are targeted, but actual experiments. And they were saying that it actually mimics schizophrenia. Makes you wonder how many diagnoses of schizophrenia and other things we are going to have in our not too distant future, where they're going to have to do things like, oh, I don't know, transcranial stimulation, zippity zap, or embedding things such as neural dust to be able to quote unquote cure you. You know, is it going to be believing in a conspiracy theory is a mental disorder? Because I'm almost going to guarantee you, if it hasn't already, it will be in the future. And they're going to be morphing the definition of mental illness as we go forward as part of the 21st Century Cures Act. And maybe we'll get there today. We're going to read more of that. We never got through it, just maybe the first page or two. Anyway, so back to this voice-modulated microwaves where they could hear, identify, and distinguish among 9 words at the time. But at that time, they sounded like artificial larynxes. Well, this system was later brought to perfection, ding, and proved by a document which appeared on the website of the U.S. EPA in 1997, where its Office of Research and Development presented the Department of Defense's project called Communicating Via the Microwave Auditory Effect. And in the description, it said, quote, an innovative and revolutionary technology, this is 97, mind you, is described that offers a low probability of intercept radio frequency communications The feasibility of the concept has been established using both a low-intensity laboratory system and a high-powered RF transmitter. Numerous military applications exist in areas of search and rescue, security, and special operations. Then, in January of 2007, the Washington Post wrote on the very same subject. In 2002, they said the Air Force Research Laboratory patented precisely such a technology using microwaves to send words into someone's head. Rich Garcia, a spokesman for the Research Laboratory's Directed Energy Directorate, declined to discuss that patent or his current or related research in the field, citing the lab's policy not to comment on its microwave work. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request filed for this article, the Air Force released unclassified documents surrounding a 2002 patent. Records that note that the patent was based on human experimentation in October of 1994 at their Air Force lab, where scientists were able to transmit phrases into the heads of human subjects, albeit with marginal intelligibility. Research appeared to continue at least through 2002. Where this work has gone since is unclear. And the research laboratory, citing their classification, refused to discuss it or release any other materials. Now, I just got to postulate for a moment that if they've been able to do all this since the 90s, even rudimentarily, and then in 2002, they had expanded it nuclearly, like they said, so it was probably pretty damn good. And it's using the microwave spectrum. And all of us, some of us, maybe not all of us, but all of us probably did in 2002, had a microwave in our home that's outputting 2.4 gigahertz, which is the microwave spectrum. And that is not only for your microwave oven, like I've said, that is also for your wireless routers in your home and your cell phones and your cordless phones, some of them, if they're in that frequency range, 2.4 and 5.8 gigahertz. And we know they can put voices in your head using something like that. I don't know, guys. Seems to me like we are surrounded by technologies that could potentially be implemented for nefarious purposes. And I'm not going to say, but what I am saying is that when they laughed at people like that Kellyanne Conway, I went to see a friend yesterday I haven't seen in a month or two, and I've known him for probably 20 years, and he's one of those people that tries to keep a level head, but anytime he sees me, he starts talking about weird stuff he's seen in the news. And he mentioned that Kellyanne Conway and asking me about microwave spying. And of course, that he thought of me when he saw that. But I'm going to tell you guys, even if they can't, and I think we've established pretty well that at least the microwave range, they could do some pretty weird ass shit and have been for 25 years. It is not too much of a stretch of the imagination that the microwave spectrum could be used for some sort of purposes other than relaying your data within your home between your devices, cooking your food, or allowing you to talk to Nana. All right, back to the story. We can only stress again that the world media avoided publishing the full scale of the progress in the research of the remote control of the human nervous system. And Dr. Robert Becker, who was twice nominated for a Nobel Prize for his share in the discovery of the effects of pulsed fields at the healing of broken bones, wrote in his book, The Body Electric, about an experiment from 1974, and somebody actually commented to me that that book was excellent. So it might be something I'll look up. I'll find it on Amazon. I'll link it in the notes. It might be something that I order and take a read when I finish with my DARPA Pentagon's big ugly brain. But yes, that was highly recommended. The Body Electric by, what was his name again? Dr. Robert Becker. It talks about an experiment from 1974 by J.F. Chapitz, released due to the Freedom of Information Act, and Chapitz stated, quote, "In this investigation, it will be shown that the spoken word of a hypnotist may also be conveyed by modulated electromagnetic frequency. And this is where we ended up yesterday, directly into the subconscious parts of the human brain, i.e., without employing any technical devices for receiving or transcoding the messages, which that's pretty frightening, and without the person exposed to such an influence having a chance to control the information input consciously. So they didn't know what was happening, and there wasn't anything special required for their brains to receive or interpret this information that was being slipped into their subconscious. Now, it really makes you think about some of the old school TV, obey, eat, command, and control type subliminal messaging that has been proven to be between some of the older television programming. You've seen some of that before, where all of a sudden there'll be a 1 second flash and it says, you know, eat Cheetos, or a 1 second flash that says, obey. You know, I don't remember what some of the messages said, but there were all kinds of things back in the old days of television that they were slicing and dicing into the 60 frame per second video display. And it's even more interesting to think about how that video display started going over these satellite networks. And I think that was part of what they were calling the long lines. Those were the microwave networks from AT&T, i.e. Bell Labs, AT&T Labs, that then spun into video and television. Communications has been used for mind control for a very long time, and we've been told that. But I never actually believed it, guys. Like, I'm one of those people that I can, you know, be told things. It'll go in one ear and out the other. It gets filed away on an index card in my brain for later accessing. But until I see the nuts and bolts of how something potentially, possibly could work, and that there is a science and some physics and whatever behind it that actually shows that it is potentially possible, I'm not going to fully believe it. But I am kind of now, guys. This is pretty crazy that some of the stuff that had been going on in the 50s even, that there is science behind this. There were mad science labs behind this. There were covert mind control programs and military funding, alphabet agencies all behind this. That could be using this for potentially controlling the masses. I'm almost speechless at this point, because all this stuff that I literally still thought was little tinfoil hatty is being proven, at least to my satisfaction, that it really isn't tinfoil hatty. I need to get some of my physics friends to look at some of this stuff and tell me that no, it's not tinfoil hatty at all, Jewel. Here's the equation. Look, it works. Anyway, in one of the four experimental subjects, we're given 100 test questions ranging from easy to technical ones. Later, not knowing that they were being irradiated, which seems pretty horrifying that they didn't even know, isn't that against some sort of Geneva Convention? They would be subjected to information beams, suggesting the answers to the questions they had left blank. Amnesia for some of their correct answers, and memory falsification for other correct answers. And after 2 weeks, they had to pass the test again. The results of the second test were never published, but it is rather evident that in those experiments, the messages were sent into human brains in ultrasound frequencies, which the human brain perceives, but which the subject is unaware. And of course, that ultrasound is the upper frequency of the microwave band that we cannot hear, but animals usually can. I think, isn't that where the dog whistle lies? Dr. Robert Becker, due to those publications and his refusal to support the building of the antenna for the communications with submarines And that is kind of where we left off. That would be in the VLF and the ELF range, low frequency, because it can penetrate deep into water. That happens to be the same frequencies that our brain works on. So his refusal to support the building of antenna for the communication with submarines in the brain frequency range lost his financial support for his research, which then meant an end to his scientific career. Ding, ding. Why so many of these scientists know what they are working on could potentially be used for bad, but don't step up to the plate because that would be the end of their career. That is why these people should come up with an alter identity and a way to hide who they are and create a blog or something. Do a radio show with a voice changer. Send an anonymous email to WikiLeaks. Do something to warn people about what is being funded. If you cannot stop, if you cannot separate yourself for helping create the next destruction of humanity, you should at least do your conscience a solid and find a way to speak out without ruining your career. You don't have to put your name on it. I don't know about you, but you don't have to put your name on it. If you put your name on it, you are asking to be targeted by somebody or something or ruined. If more people did that, I think things might be a little bit different. Transmitting human speech into the human brain by means of electromagnetic waves is apparently, for the researchers, one of the most difficult tasks. It must be much easier to control human emotions. And we also found out that MIT put out a story a while ago that they can read human emotions using Wi-Fi, which again is in the microwave range. I wonder how much more difficult it would be controlling human emotions with some of those same frequencies. We know DARPA's been doing all kinds of research into the ElectRx program and into zippity-zapping that vagus nerve to release chemicals into the brain that can potentially control our emotions, whether it be dopamine or oxytocin or any of these other things. It's got to make you wonder. Of course, it was in the name of trying to help soldiers who are experiencing fear in the battlefield, or to help soldiers who came back with PTSD and lots of fear. They also found that there is a frequency of fear in the brain, and I don't know which one that is, if that's a high one or a low one. I think it's a high one. So who's to say that they couldn't just tune your brain frequencies into some sort of higher frequency, maybe some sort of harmonic that would be able to change those emotions. I bet I could, if I looked for it, there probably is some science to that somewhere. I mean, guys, there's been a lot of stuff that they have been messing with for a long time. And a lot of these experiments that are happening now in social media are for things like this, on how to sway emotions, on how to sway the, what do they call it when mass groups of people all kind of just jump on the bandwagon? Called oh, mob interaction, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of psychology behind a lot of what is happening, and then science to go along with it. These psyops, as they call them, is not science fiction. And to be able to control the population, there have to be ways. They can't go in your face and say, "Hey, Johnny, don't do that," because humans tend to rebel against people telling them what to do. You got to make it think it's make them think it's their idea. You got to make them think that they're doing something good. You have to create movements that they can get behind and make them think that it's giving a finger to the man. That's like the whole hippie movement. I mean, I've watched a few things now about the CIA, LSD, and the whole hippie movement and how that was to destabilize things. It's very disturbing to me that this has been going on for generations, and we've thought that it was just progress. Anyway, it must be much easier to control human emotions, which motivate human thinking, decision-making, and actions. People who claim to be victims of experiments with those devices complain, aside from hearing voices, of feeling false feelings, as well as of aches of internal organs, which physicians are unable to diagnose. And I mean, there is such a squashing right now of science and the science of microwaves and the safety of cell phones. There are other countries who have come out with reports showing that they can cause damage to our physiology and our organs, that the industry has lobbied very hard to keep quiet in this country. We saw an independent study of a guy up in Oregon. He was a smarty pants, looked like he knew a lot of physics. We had looked at an old study from the U.S. government on the U.S. embassy in Russia being irradiated with microwaves, and he showed that there potentially is biological damage that could be done by being bathed in microwaves. So I'm not going to discount the fact that maybe you might be feeling some sort of physical illness or effects after being exposed to large amounts of these frequencies. In November of 2000, the Committee on Security of the Russian State Duma stated that capabilities enabling remote control of the human nervous system or the remote infliction of health impairments are available to many modern governments. And that was in 2000. And it is rather evident that those technologies are used in conflict with the Nuremberg Code, and that would be experimenting on humans without their knowledge, for experimenting on unwitting human subjects. In 2001, the newspaper of the U.S. Army called Defense News wrote that Israel was experimenting with those weapons on Palestinians. And as well, ousted Honduran President Manuel Zelaya, while under siege in a Brazilian embassy in Honduras, complained that he had been subjected to, and quote, electron bombardment with microwaves, unquote, which produced a headache and organic destabilization, according to The Guardian in October of 2008. When asked by, again, Amy Goodman, she got in the middle of this stuff again, from Democracy Now!, she asked, as president, do you know about this in the Honduran arsenal? She asked this of Manuel Zelaya, and he replied, yes, of course. The use of those weapons is time and again reemerging in times of political crises. And according to the Russian daily newspapers, during the failed putsch against Mikhail Gorbachev in 1991, General Kopets warned the defenders of the Russian White House that mind control technology could be used against them if they are not careful. And after the putsch, the vice president of the League of Independent Scientists of the USSR, Viktor Saldeki, published a declaration in the daily Russian Kosmoskalyska Pravda, where he stated, quote, as an expert and legal entity, I declare that mass production of psychotronic biogenerators was launched in Kiev, and I cannot assert for sure that they were exactly Kiev generators that were used during the putsch. However, the fact that they were used is obvious to me. What are psychotronic generators? He asked. It is an electronic equipment producing the effect of guided control in the human organism. It especially affects the left and right hemisphere of the cortex. And we learned in our research with Kurzweil that the cortex is where you make decisions. And that is actually where we read some research as well, that they are able to now watch decisions being made real time in the cortex. But to continue, he says this is also the technology of the U.S. Zombie Project 5. And that is the first I've ever heard of that project. But we should look into that for research. Somebody pick that one up and run with it. He further stated that due to the inexperience of the personnel who operated them, the attempt to use these generators had failed. In the USA, and that was from a publication in Pravda, August 27th, 1991. In the USA, at present, several hundred people are complaining of remote manipulation of their nervous system, and they are preparing a class action lawsuit against the FBI, Department of Defense, and other agencies. This was as of 2014, requesting them to release files pertaining to their persons, detect the harmful radiation aimed at their bodies, and the sources of these radiations. As well, perhaps over 2,000 people are complaining in Russia, over 200 in Europe, over 300 in Japan, and tens of thousands of people in other countries such as China and India. Russian politician Vladimir Lopatin, who was working on the Committee of Security of the Russian State of Duma and introduced their bill banning the use of such technologies, admitted in his book called Psychotronic Weapons and Security of Russia, that in Russia, experiments are being unwittingly carried out. Guys, this is pretty crazy. We're going to get tomorrow, I think, into a little bit of HAARP. It looks like this continues, and I have some documents that I discovered on HAARP from physics.org. One last thing, there was a book by a woman named Julianne McKinney, Director of Electronic Surveillance Project, Association of the National Security Alumni, out of 1992, titled Microwave Harassment and Mind-Controlled Experimentation. I think we're going to start here tomorrow. The book is now out of print. You can still find copies of it online. And there is a whole disturbing section called The Existing Directed Energy Arsenal, again, back to 1991. Information found in a white paper published in 1991 by the U.S. Global Strategy Council, which is a Washington-based organization under the chairmanship of Ray Klein, former deputy director of the CIA, who still maintains a very close tie with the U.S. intelligence community. Remember, in 1991, George Bush Sr. was the president. Again, another former director of the CIA. So it seems to me we found a lot of the rats in the hole. This white paper describes the foreign and domestic uses foreseen for laser weapons, isotropic radiators, infrasound, non-nuclear electromagnetic pulse generators, and high-powered microwave emitters. Okay, guys, make sure you stick around.